Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you've listened for the years that I've been on the air, you know this. I've had Ann Graham Lotz on the show lots of times. I often say that she has mentored me from afar without her actually knowing it, but she has. Well, about a month ago, my hubby and I traveled to Texas, and I got to spend some time with Ann and her beautiful daughter, Rachel Ruth, because we were both taping episodes for the Life Today show. And I just got to say this, when Ann speaks, I want to listen. And I will say this too, her daughter carries that same teaching mantle. And neither of them are strangers to hardship or suffering, and they continue to proclaim Jesus in the middle of it all. I'm so honored to have them with me on the show today. They co-authored this brilliant new book, Preparing to Meet Jesus, a 21-day challenge to move from salvation to transformation. Here's what they write. Our world seems to be experiencing repeated alarms indicating that at any moment, the midnight cry may sound and Jesus will return. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, signs in the heavens are all getting our attention. At any moment, the bridegroom is going to arrive. When he comes, he'll come suddenly, quickly, with no further advance notice. We need to be thinking about that. We'll get them on in just a moment. A quick announcement. You know this. You've been hearing about it. My book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. It's all about the presence of God, released last week. And my publisher, Thomas Nelson, has partnered with Faith Radio. They're giving away 100 copies this month. And you can register to win at myfaithradio.com. Also, I've recorded 15 short audio clips on just the presence of God, the love of God, on your devotional walk with God. They're just 3-minute little audio clips. You can receive them by text if you just text the word closer to 877-933-2484. Now, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Ann Graham Lotz, called the best preacher in the family by her father, Billy Graham, is the award-winning author of many books, including Jesus in Me, Just Give Me Jesus, The Light of His Presence, and the one we're talking about today, Preparing to Meet Jesus, which she co-authored with her daughter, Rachel Ruth. Ann's the president of Angel Ministries and the former chairperson for the National Day of Prayer. She's been featured on all major media outlets, and we're so honored to have her with us today. Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright is a co-author with her mom of the book we're talking about today, Preparing to Meet Jesus, as well as Jesus Followers. She also serves on the board of directors for Angel Ministries, teaches a weekly online Bible study that draws thousands of people from around the world. She and her husband, Stephen, live in Raleigh, North Carolina with their 3 daughters. And welcome back to the show, Rachel Ruth. So good to hear your voice again.
Susie, thank you. You know, it's so special to talk with you after having been with you, so I can put a face with a name and just feel like you're a very dear, dear friend.
Yes. Wow. Thank you. We loved our time in the car. We loved our time in the hotel lobby and backstage. I mean, it just was such an intimate, precious time. So I feel the same. I'm so grateful. And you know this, this is how we start the show every day. It's just kind of bringing it into a personal level of how we walk with God and what He's saying. And so, Rachel Ruth, I'll start with you. Just in your everyday times with the Lord these days, what's He been impressing upon your heart?
Well, I'll tell you, what I did this morning and what I keep staying awake praying about is the promises that God's given me, because I've been having just the past couple nights more heart pain and stuff and not being able to sleep. And so I just keep praying back the promises that God's given me. And after my heart attack episodes, it was a couple weeks after He had given me a verse that said, "You will not go this way again." And this morning I looked it up and it was in Ezekiel, and just read it again, prayed through it again. And it's times when you are desperate, when you're hurting, and God brings back His word. And I would just be flailing around, worried and terrified. I mean, I am sometimes, but anyhow, I have to stand on His promises and know that He has promised me this SCAD heart attacks will not happen again. And just to trust Him. And so I literally this morning, again, I was going over some of those verses, and and just know that that he speaks personally, and that it's when he's given you promises like that, you can come back and back and back to him and pray them back. And so just that the Lord holds my heart in his hands, and when he gives you a promise, it's, you know, it's as good as it gets.
I remember when we were sitting backstage at Life Today, and your mom was doing some teaching, some little teaching moments, and she lifted up the Bible and she said, every promise is a prophecy. And that just quickened within me. And Rachel, Ruth, I know that so well, that feeling of in the middle of symptoms and the terror and the trauma of the symptoms and then the enemy threat around those symptoms,
yeah.
How terrifying it is to kind of grab a hold of the promises, but go, I'm not letting go. I know what I heard when God spoke to me. So I just honor and applaud you for that, forging such fierce faith in the middle of a significant battle. So thank you for sharing that. Wow.
Yeah,
wow. And how about you, Anne?
Well, the verse that has seemed to come up off the page and that the Lord whispered to me, actually I shared it with a friend, and it was his word to her. It just meant so much, and it's from Haggai. And I've been going through the minor prophets. I've gone through them. I've taught them all and gone through them several times, and I just felt led to go back through them because I feel like they have a message for us today. And Haggai 2, and I can't see the little numbers, but I think it's 2:19. He says, after he says that, you know, he's going to shake the earth and he's going to let you go through some difficult times. And then he says, from this day on, I will bless you. And I think what Rachel Ruth has just shared and some of the things I've been going through, you tend to think, will it ever get better? Will I ever get out of this? And, you know, is it going to be different? And I felt like he was promising me, yes, it is going to be different. And from this day forward, I will bless you. So yesterday was yesterday, and we let that go, and we let the door close on the past, and we look forward to what he has for us today and tomorrow and in the future, because we know it's going to include his blessings.
Who needed to hear that today? Somebody got to text me an amen. So, so good. And I got to say, Rachel, I'm going to ask you both, and as much as you feel comfortable sharing, as you touched on the heart issue, but my question is going to be that you've both have walked through some pretty significant hardship in these last few years. All the while, you're declaring Jesus, proclaiming Jesus, teaching the word to people in need. All right, the amens are coming. I knew they would. But Rachel, Ruth, let's start with you, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back to Anne. But if, as much as you're comfortable sharing, talk about what life has been like for you in the last few years.
Yeah, well, about a year and a half ago, I went in for a routine stress test, you know, where you run on a treadmill and they check your heart and everything was good. I didn't have cholesterol problems or anything like that. They just wanted to check it. And long story short, it was a disastrous appointment. It just was not a good situation. And I ended up at the end of it passing out three times, and I walked out with chest pain. And I didn't even think about a heart attack. I just thought, oh my goodness, I've pulled all the muscles at my chest. I don't know what's happened. And 4 days later, after having chest pain every day and thinking it was acid reflux, I realized, no, something's going on with my heart. And so they rushed me in an ambulance to the ER. And it was there that they said, no, this is definitely your heart, and we're going to try and figure it out. And had my first heart cath on a Sunday morning. It was the next day. And they said I was having a SCAD heart attack on the bottom of my middle artery in my heart, which is when the artery shreds on the inside. And it happens it's rare. It happens to women in their 30s and 40s. And it's after like a high stress event or after a hard exercise, and then sometimes they just don't even know why it happens. It's just kind of an awful thing. And so they were just going to kind of let that one heal. It wasn't as severe as it could have been. But they left me in the hospital, which was a blessing, because the next day I had an absolute horrible SCAD heart attack where my artery ended up shredding from top to bottom. And I was dying and knew I was going. And I'll tell you this, I can testify that at the very last seconds when I knew I was about to go, I had total peace.
Wow.
And
wow.
I told the Lord, I said, Lord, just take care of my girls. And then I heard my mom praying too over me. She was in the room, my sister. And then all the blood. I felt like the hand of God, the finger of God went across my heart. I could feel something like that go across my heart, and all the blood came back to my body. And they rushed me off to the ER and put stents in my heart. But a year and a half later, I'm still dealing with heart pain and chest pain and all the problems with the medicines and stuff like that. But God is faithful. I mean, He has brought me through. It's a terrifying experience, and it continues to be very difficult because your body you just get scared. It's just kind of a natural thing. And it's just what to do with that fear. And so I've just continued to tell the Lord, you know, pray the names of the Lord and focus on Him, praise Him, and go over those promises that He's given me and just trust. But it's been quite a journey.
Thank you for sharing. And friends listening, would you write Rachel Ruth's name down and commit her to prayer? Because it's so typical when you're serving on the front lines, like I call it bleeding under your armor, where you've got this wound or this terror, this trauma, this thing that you still have to deal with, and it's threatening you constantly. Just be remembering Rachel Ruth. And before we go to break, Anne, as the mama, I can't even imagine what that was like for you to be at your daughter's bedside. And it's like this thing came out of nowhere. What was that like for you?
Well, you can imagine. It was maybe one of the worst times, but I knew maybe I didn't have the peace that Rachel Ruth had, because I was crying out to the Lord. And I raised my voices at the nurses. I felt like they weren't reacting to what I knew was Rachel's death. I could see her in front of me. She was dying. Mm. And so I just called out on the name of the Lord as much as I could. I was in between sobs. You know, it's just hard to pull it together. And then I saw her come back, and the blood came back to her face. She could move. And then they whisked her down to the operating room. I followed as far as I could and got to the closed doors of the operating room. And the head nurse who was with me said, "We can't go any further." And I asked her if she was a woman of prayer. And she said, "What?" And I said, "Do you pray?" And she said, "Well, sometimes." And I said, "Well, you're going to pray now." So I put my arms around it, and, you know, in the middle of the corridor, I just prayed out loud. And it was so interesting, Susie, because under her breath, she started praying with me. And that's one of the blessings I found in the hospital, not only for Rachel Ruth, but my own cancer journey. There are many believers among the nurses, the doctors, but they don't say anything. They're like closet Christians. They're so afraid of losing their job. But if I say something, if I pull them in, then they confess their faith. They're believers. And she was the nurse in charge of everything. And she was a believer, you know, because we were there for several days after. And So all I know is that that darkest moment of absolute desperation, the Lord was there, and He heard and He answered and He saved Rachel Ruth, or I don't think we'd be talking to you today. You know, if the Lord hadn't intervened, she wouldn't be here. So God doesn't, and sometimes He doesn't intervene. He didn't intervene with my husband, who went on to glory. So there's sometimes He doesn't intervene in the way we ask, but we just trust Him. So I think it just boils down to trusting Him, calling on Him, you know, pleading with Him to help us, to save us. And if He chooses not to, then so be it. If He chooses to, then we praise Him. You just praise Him either way. He's in charge.
Come on. Amen. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to ask Anne a little bit about whatever it's been like for you in these last few years. I know it's been no picnic. So on one hand, watching your daughter almost slip from you, but you're also battling some of your own things. And again, while you're preparing to meet Jesus, and it's so important. The reason I want these backstories in these contexts, because sometimes the enemy will use our current trials to take our eyes off eternity, but really what they're meant to do is put our eyes on eternity. We're not made for this world. We're passing through. We're foreigners. We're pilgrims traveling to a most holy place. And you can actually leverage these hard times to the point where they propel you into the arms of God, and they compel you to hold fast to His promises. And these two gals are just shining bright examples of that. Anne Graham Lotz, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright, co-authored the beautiful book, Preparing to Meet Jesus, a 21-day challenge to move from salvation to transformation. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
The Bible is valuable, and reading and studying the Bible can transform your life. Hi, I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together podcast. Several times a year, we release a new Reading the Bible Together study. We've studied Luke, Daniel, Advent, Lent, and so many more. You can access all of our studies for free by going to the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com. In addition to the studies, we also have the accompanying podcast. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can study on your own, or if your small group or Bible study is looking for what to study next, check out the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to best-selling authors Anne Graham Lotz and her dear daughter, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright, who co-authored the book Preparing to Meet Jesus, a 21-day challenge to move from salvation to transformation. And I read this at the open of the show, but I want you to hear it again, especially if you just tuned in. Our world seems to be experiencing repeated alarms, indicating that any moment the midnight cry may sound and Jesus will return. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, signs in the heavens are all getting our attention. At any moment, the bridegroom is going to arrive. When he comes, he will come suddenly, quickly, with no further advance notice. So, can you think of anything more important than preparing your heart for Jesus' return? Me neither. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So, Anne, as much as you feel so led, would you share a little bit about some of what you've walked through in these last few years?
Yeah, sure, Suzy. And if I can just add a little addendum to what you just shared, that, you know, we'll meet Jesus at his return when he comes for us. But if, you know, it could be that we meet him in our death. So he comes for us one of two ways, when we step into eternity, either through our death or through his return. So you never know when you may step into eternity. You know, it can be a car accident. It can become, you know, there's so many families in Maui are going through this now. And they're all in our hearts. And even some of the things I've been through. And, you know, this is my 5-year marker. I haven't been to the doctor yet, but was diagnosed with cancer 5 years ago and went through the surgery, the chemotherapy, the radiation. And it's just a time when, for myself, I confronted personal death. But like Rachel Ruth shared about her experience, during that time, I had total peace. And I do think it's easier to go through something difficult ourselves than to watch a loved one go through it. So I had peace going through my trauma, but I felt much more desperate when Rachel Ruth was going through hers. But the Lord carried us both through. And you know, it was 8 years ago that my husband, I found him unresponsive in our pool and got him to the ICU unit where we put him on life support. But then on August 19th, which was just a few days ago, you know, it was in 2015 that we released him and he went on to glory. And I was sharing this morning that it's very important that he had shared multiple times with us that when he was a little boy, 5 years of age, he had asked Jesus to come into his heart in response to a teacher in Vacation Bible School. And we knew that. So we knew when we released him, as we sang over him and prayed over him and read scripture over him and let him go on to glory, that that wasn't final, that we would see him again. And that was our comfort. So I just challenge people who know they're going to step into eternity and see Jesus. They know they're saved. They've been born again into God's family. They have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus. But have they shared that with their families? Do their children, their grandchildren know that? Because when the time comes for us to exit this life, that's the comfort we give our families, that if they put their faith in Jesus, that one day we'll be reunited. So, you know, God has taken me and different members of my family through some very difficult times in the last few years, probably beginning with my I took care of my husband for 3 years before then he stepped into eternity. And then it was 3 years after that, my father went to heaven, and 6 months after that, I was diagnosed with cancer. So it's been a battle. But you know what you said? I think it was at the just a few minutes ago at the conclusion of our last segment that these hard things come not to take us down or to destroy us or to weaken us, but the opposite. And those hard things come to press us closer to the Lord. If we don't let the whatever it is come between us and the Lord, there's no complaining spirit, bitter spirit, why me? And, you know, but you allow it to press you closer to the Lord, then your relationship with him grows deeper, stronger, more vibrant. Your faith becomes stronger. I think you have a greater heart, a large capacity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have compassion for other people who are going through difficult things. So there's so many blessings that have come out of these difficulties that I can't really thank the Lord for the difficulties, but I thank him for the blessings that he's given me along the way. And I wouldn't take anything for his presence in my life. In fact, that's why I wrote the book, Jesus in Me. It's on the Holy Spirit, just embracing him. And the Holy Spirit was with me, in me, through every step of that journey. And sometimes you don't recognize that until after the fact. And then you look back and you think, oh my goodness, that was the Holy Spirit. He carried me through that. So he's carried us through these difficult times, and I'm expecting that he will still carry us through. And I'm looking forward to the continued blessings, because that was the promise in Haggai, that from this day forward, he would bless us.
Wow. Wow. And Rachel Ruth, I'm thinking of so much of what your mom just said, but one thing that stands out to me is that if you don't allow, I'm paraphrasing, but if you don't allow attitudes to get in between you and the Lord, because that's what the enemy is always trying to do, especially if you're younger in the faith, to build a case against God, to get you offended with God when he's the thief, the enemy's the thief. And maybe speak to someone in one of these younger generations that are in misinterpreting their battles in a way that have put made them offended with God, and they're wondering why they lack the peace of God. What would you say to them?
You know, it's interesting, because that is one thing that I tried to always be careful about when I was raising my three girls, because I never wanted them to turn and be mad at God when something bad would happen. And even if I had made a mistake, I would tell my girls, you know, I made the mistake, but don't let that affect the way you look at Jesus, because he always does the right thing. He's always kind. He always, you know, helps us through these trials. And I think it's important to remember the enemy, the devil, is after us to kill, steal, and destroy us. And so he is clever. He knows how to look at your weaknesses and come after you and discourage you. I think discouragement is a huge thing that's happening now. Fear, the enemy makes you afraid and anxious and worried. And then sometimes things don't go well. In fact, I was talking to my youngest daughter when she's had some difficult things this past couple of months. And she loves the Lord. She's in the Word every day, so she's kept her perspective. But I have to keep reminding her, you know, God loves her and he has a plan for her. And it is not to destroy her, not to upset her, but it is to make her life a blessing and make her she'll glorify the Lord through her life, but never to turn a bitter thought towards God, because he is the one in your corner. He is the one helping you through, guiding you through, and whatever mess you're in, he will walk you through it and make it turn out great in the end. And so if there is one person in your life to not turn on, it is God, because he is the faithful one that loves you. And anything opposite of that is the enemy. And you can, you know, he's the one that you can blame. It's not the Lord.
Amen. We're going to pause here. When we come back, and I remember about a decade ago when you were on the show with me, if I remember right, you say you were born the same year and month that Israel became a nation, May 1948. And I would just love your perspective looking back over your lifetime at just what's happened in our world and what things stand out to you. And just love to get that perspective from you. More with Ann Graham Lotz, Rachel Ruth Lotz, right in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Ann Graham Lotz and her dear daughter, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright. They co-authored a beautiful devotional, Preparing to Meet Jesus. If there ever was a timing of a book on this topic. It is now Preparing to Meet Jesus, a 21-day challenge to move from salvation to transformation, moving into the deeper things of God, searching your heart, preparing your heart. And we'll talk even in a few minutes about just tangible, practical ways to actually prepare to meet Jesus, especially if you've never met him, if you've never trusted him for salvation. But first, and I literally think it was 10 years ago, you'd said on the show, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought you'd said you were born the same year and month that Israel became a nation. And I mean, when you think about what's happened in your lifetime since that prophecy was fulfilled, it must leave you just breathless. But just speak to, if I'm right about that, let me know, then just what you've seen over your lifetime and what stands out to you.
You know, it's so interesting, Susie, you're right. And since I was a girl, for some reason, I felt my life was intertwined with Israel. And I've believed with all my heart that if I lived out my natural lifetime, I would live to see the return of Jesus in the rapture. And the two reasons primarily for that, that Jesus gave in Matthew 24, and one of them you've just referred to, he gives the parable of the fig tree, and that it's dormant, but when you see it put forth buds, then you know the time is near. And what he says, that generation that sees that will be the last generation. And I'm paraphrasing, but anyway, and the fig tree, even 2 days earlier when he was talking to his disciples, it represents Israel, and the Old Testament represents Israel. And so I believe that's a parable of Israel, who was dormant for almost 2,000 years after the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and scattered them all over the world. And then in May 1948, May 14th, 1948, she was reestablished as a nation, recognized as a nation by the United Nations. And 1 week later, I was born. So I was reborn on Friday, May 14th. I was born for the first time on May 21st, which was a Friday, in the same year. And so I feel like my generation, whatever that is, scripture generation could be 20 years, or it could be 40 years, it could be 80 years, but that within that generation, we would see these things take place. And Jesus gave many signs in Matthew 24, all of which I believe need to take place in that last generation. And that's what we're seeing now. The other significant sign, all of the signs are significant, but the other one that catches your attention is that Jesus said the gospel will be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. And right now, the gospel is being preached in the whole world. The whole world can hear the gospel either in a live presentation or a video presentation, an audio presentation in their first language, second language, third language, in printed material, on ham radio, internet. But the whole world now has access to the gospel. And that's the first time in human history. And so you put that with the fact that Israel has been reestablished as a nation. You put that with all the signs that Jesus gave as far as, the natural signs, which I think are easiest to track, whether it's earthquakes or floods or tornadoes or fires or storms. And we've always had those things, but Jesus said they're like birth pains. And birth pains, when I had my first baby and went into labor, it was like a low back pain. I thought, well, this isn't so bad. And then the pain increased in frequency. Instead of every 5 minutes, every 4 minutes, and every 2 minutes, And as it increased in frequency, it increased in intensity. It got worse and worse until the end. I thought, I can't take another pain. And then the baby came. So when we see the signs that Jesus gave increasing in frequency, and instead of being once every 100 years, it's now every 10 years. Not every 10 years, now it's every year. It's not every year, it's every month. Not every month, now it's every week. And as it increases in frequency, it's an intensity. You notice these things are all record-breaking. And we've just had so many record-breaking events, from the fact that this year has been the hottest year on record for the whole world. And I don't think that's global warming. I'm sorry, not man-made global warming. I think the Lord's trying to get our attention. The fires in Maui, that's the worst ever forest fire, the destruction, the loss of life ever. And the tornadoes and the floods, the snowstorms, it's amazing. And then you put that with some of these other things, the wars, the rumors of wars. Right now, there's so many rumors of wars, you almost can't click them off, but China threatening Taiwan and Russia invading Ukraine and Iran threatening Israel with nuclear weapons. And you just go around the globe, it's wars and rumors of wars. There's violence, there's lawlessness, there's, you know, it's just everything that the Bible uses to describe. And it's not just Matthew 24, but there are other places that signs are given. And we're watching them increase in frequency and intensity, and coupling with the gospel preached to the whole world and the fact that Israel is being reborn. I believe we're living at the end. And what I have seen, I've always thought I would be present at the rapture, that the Lord would come and take me to himself. What I didn't know was how bad it would get before that time comes. I thought maybe this would be the tribulation, and I do not believe genuine believers will go through that 7-year period of tribulation. But I just never thought that before then it would be as bad as it is, with the corruption and the chaos, the confusion, the outright rebellion against God, rebelling against the fact that he's our creator, and they say we evolve, rebelling against marriage, which he says is between man and woman, rebelling against the fact that he said so clearly in other places, but Genesis 5 verse 2, he says that he created us male and female. They're not 37 genders. You know, you can masculinize a female, you can feminize a male, but you can't change the gender. That's set. But all of that is rebellion against God. It's not just politics. It's not just social progressives or whatever. It's a rebellion against God and what he has said and what he has done. And that's getting, as I see it, not just in America, but worldwide, and it's getting fiercer and fiercer. And I think we just need to keep looking up. And then this book that Rachel Ruth and I wrote, it's more like a devotional book, Susie, but that we need to be ready to meet Jesus whenever that moment comes. I do not want him to catch me in something and be ashamed.
Wow. So good. You know, my question was going to be, my follow-up was going to be, you know, even 10 years ago, would you have imagined it would have gotten to this point? And you answered that. It's just mind-numbing to think of how fast things are accelerating and how spiraling and the craziness. You know, it really has become, our shame has become our glory. Wrong is right and right is wrong. I mean, who would have ever thought we would get to this place? But here we are. But we also, Rachel Ruth, have the Spirit of God in us, the promises of God over us. And for the person who's battling some fear today, who loves Jesus and says, you know, I love him, I have saving faith, I have fear that I won't be able to stand in these days, I fear what's to come as the tide turns against Christians, how can they prepare their hearts to meet Jesus? How can they live ready for his return without being tangled up in fear?
I really feel like it's, we are living in dangerous times. It is crazy. But when you are in your Bible every day and you're reading it and you see how God took care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire and took care of Daniel in the lion's den and Paul in front of a lion as well. I mean, God can do the supernatural. And like Mom said, if he chooses not to, if for some reason something happens to us and we go to heaven, it's still okay. We're going to be with Jesus. But I think the thing that we have to realize is God is trustworthy. He is, you can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your children. You can trust him when you're driving and going, you know, to the grocery store or dropping your kid off at college, or he is trustworthy. He will take care of you. He looks at you, and it says that he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. So anything that happens to you, he feels it. He knows it. He is aware. He doesn't just look at us like a big herd of cows. He sees us as individuals. He's watching. And you know, if he's picked us to live in the last days, we were handpicked by God to live in one of the worst times in human history, the worst time in human history worldwide. And God's presence is with us, and he has a purpose for us to live on this planet right now. Whether you doing your radio show or us doing a Bible study or teaching or writing a book, he has a purpose. And it could be you as a teacher in a schoolroom with kids that are scared, or you could be, you know, in a Bible study with women that just, you know, it's just a ho-hum. They go play tennis and they don't really care about God, and they know something's happening in the world, and you can be a voice to them. So God, I think the thing that I would say is, don't forget God's got a purpose for you to live right now. So you can focus on the terrible things and be afraid and, you know, hole up in your house, or you can just say, no, I trust you, God. How do you want me to use you? Or how can you use me? And God will.
And I think that, Susie, is one of the the keys to overcoming the fear is not to hunker down and hide in your house, but to take it to the enemy, you know, so that use this time, because people are afraid, use this time to share the gospel, use this time to reach out to people and give them comfort and encouragement. God will give you your own testimony, the platform, and maybe it's the platform of suffering, like Peter says, you know, that fiery trial that's come so that people can see Jesus revealed in you. And it's a time to really get serious about the main thing. And the main thing is our relationship to the Lord. And I think one of the things that takes away the fear is when you know you're ready. You're ready to meet him. And that's why we've written this little book. It's just like a little checklist to just examine your heart and go through, you know, and it'll be more things you can think of than this. But Ray Truth has come up with 21 characteristics of Rebecca that will help you examine your own heart to make sure that you are ready to meet Jesus. And when you know that you know that you know you're as ready as you possibly can be, then, you know, he can just come when he chooses, at death or at his return, and we're ready to meet him.
Hmm. What I loved about your challenges is they all call for an active engagement, you know, where we're sober, we're alert, we're mindful, you know, we're dressed and ready for service, our lamp is burning, those kinds of things that we read in scripture. This is not a time for autopilot or cruise control, or as you said, Anna, hunkering down and hoping you can hang on. It really is like this purposeful engagement going, we know the God, the creator, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are saved. And I want to just say before we go to break, one of the first challenges you guys offer in this book is for those who maybe you're listening, because I know our audience is growing significantly. We've got people listening in 170 countries. And so I know because the audience is growing, there are some who listen who maybe you've never bent your knee to Jesus. Maybe today, today is the day. If you've not ever trusted him, consider this. And I want to just read this prayer out of Rachel Ruth and Ann Graham Watts' book, Preparing to Meet Jesus. Jesus, I believe. I want to be a member of your Father's family. I believe you died on the cross, so forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. I believe that you rose from the dead and now offer me eternal life with you, and that one day you'll return as my bridegroom and receive me into your kingdom in heaven. I confess to you that I have done wrong things, and I'm sorry. I willingly turn away from them. I'm asking that you come into my life today. I receive the eternal life you offer. Be my Savior, the forgiver of all my sins, the Lord of my life, and my soon coming bridegroom. Thank you, Jesus. And for you who have trusted Christ, this prayer is for you. This is all also in the challenge. Father God, thank you for the confidence I have that I have met the most important criterion for being chosen as a bride for your son, Jesus, not because of anything I am or have done, but simply because I've placed all my trust in Jesus. I know I'm a member of your family. Now I pray you'll use the following 20 days of challenges to make me more pleasing to you in every way, for the sake of the bridegroom and in his name, Jesus. Amen. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of these challenges and how to practically prepare for Jesus' soon return. As Anne was saying, you can't deny that the labor pains have increased in frequency and intensity. They're on top of each other. Now is the day and time to live expectantly. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I wrote the book Closer Than Your Next Breath. Where is God when you need him most? He's closer than your next breath. I remember as a young Christian having moments where I encountered God in a way that changed everything, that showed me something of his character or of my need, my tendency towards insecurity or unbelief. But in those in-between times where God seemed silent, I started to panic. I forgot who I was. I didn't understand who he is. And you need to know, when you're walking through those in-between seasons, you've got to tether yourself to the goodness of God. Get to know the character of God, because he's always good. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If we don't understand his character, we'll try to go from one sensational event to another. We chase the sensational, and we miss the supernatural. God is with you right here, right now. Notice his handiwork in the sunrise, in the sunset, in the laughter of a child. You're right now standing on answers to prayer that you prayed some time ago. God is with you. He is closer than your next breath, and he will always be for you. There is nothing like God's presence. That's why I'm so excited to share this resource with you. Thanks to W Publishing, Faith Radio is giving away 100 copies of my new book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. Where is God when you need him most? Enter to win your copy now at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, having a fantastic conversation with bestselling authors Anne Graham Lotz and Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright. Together, they co-authored the book Preparing to Meet Jesus, a 21-day challenge to move from salvation to transformation. And talk about that move from salvation to transformation. Leading people to Christ is, of course, the most important thing. But when Jesus talked about discipleship, you don't often or always hear about that, you know, going along with it, where growing up, maturing into your faith, walking deeper into the things of God. So speak to that whole idea of transformation.
Well, you know, you're exactly right, Susie. I think some people, they put their faith in Jesus and they get their ticket to heaven, so to speak, and they think that's it. And so they're missing out really on the tremendous joy you have of developing a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus and growing in that faith. So it's a little bit like when I married Danny Lotz, and that would be many years ago now. And when I met him at the marriage altar, I was in love with him and I wanted to be his wife and I committed my life to him. And I said my vows of commitment, but I'm going to tell you, he went to heaven after we'd been married 49 years. At that point, I knew so much more about Danny than I did when I first married him. And when we come to the marriage altar of the cross and we say yes to Jesus and we give him our lives, we know enough to give him our lives. And we know we want to be in that relationship. But then you've got to grow in that relationship day in and day out. As Ray Truth pointed out, you read your Bible every day, you apply it, you live it out, you pray, you talk to him, you go through good times and bad times, and you see how faithful he is in some of those times, as Ray Truth and I have described. And some of the stories that she mentioned in scripture, whether it's Noah or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel, or the Apostle Paul, you see some of the storms of life that we go through. We need a strong faith to be able to go through them in a triumphant way. And if you just allow yourself to be saved, and yes, thank God you're going to heaven, but if you don't grow in your faith, then when difficulties come, you may not stand. You know, you may collapse under the difficulty and bring shame to yourself and to the Lord and be no testimony at all to people around you. So we need to grow in our faith. And I think the obstacles, the hard things, I'll use this illustration. When I was a girl growing up in Western North Carolina, every Sunday afternoon that Daddy was home, we'd hike to the ridge. And on the ridge, the trees were either great big or they were lying on the ground. And I asked my mother why that was so. And she said, there was nothing on the ridge to break the wind. So the ridge, what grew on the ridge just got the full brunt of the wind. And the trees either grew very strong under that kind of pressure or they collapsed. And so the winds of life are, God allows us to have those winds in our lives to make us strong, to put our roots down deep in his word, to draw us closer to himself so that when the storms come, we can stand. And having done all, we stand. So I think it's important to move into transformation, or you're not going, we've alluded to all the things going on in the world. I don't think you can stand with a clear testimony and make an impact on other people's lives if you're not being transformed into the image of Jesus through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I mean, you think about Lot, who lingered so long with the ungodly that when it was time to say judgment is coming, his family members thought he was joking. So clearly he didn't have credibility. And when I think about if you check the box, let's say you sincerely prayed the prayer of salvation, but you really feel no unction to know God more because you like life in the world. You don't know him. I mean, it's like there's whatever you release of this world to know him more, he's better than all of it. I mean, he's our greatest gift. And the more you grow into your faith, the more you realize, I am not made for this world. Oh my goodness, the one who put the stars in place knows my name. And that's why I think this book is so important. And Rachel Ruth, the time has gone by so fast. We still got about 8 minutes left or so. But I could have done a whole show just on your 21 challenges. But maybe pick a few of the challenges that stand out to you that you really like, and your purpose behind them.
Well, the book was based off of Genesis chapter 24 with when Abraham asked his servant to go find a bride for his son Isaac. And it's such a picture of God the Father who sends his Holy Spirit to find a bride for his son, Jesus. And so I look at this whole book, the whole chapter that way, because there's, you can read the Bible and be blessed, but when you dig deeper, there are all these treasures there. And I feel like that's what this book hopefully brings out, is the treasures in this chapter, which when you look at Rebecca, I saw all these characteristics. And here the servant, I mean, he had to take off and travel 450 miles to get to the land where Abraham was from. And he gets to a well, hoping that's where it is, because he didn't have IMAPs or anything like that. He just had to go off of what Abraham told him where to go. And he gets to this well and he asked God, he said, "Lord, when these women walk out, please let the one that I asked for water," because they were coming to the well to get water. And he said, "Please let the one that I asked to get water freely give it to me, but then also ask to water my camels." And so it's so neat because he watches Rebecca and he sees this, he's just watching her to see what she does, and knew she was beautiful and all that. And so I talk about beauty on the inside, and it's, the Bible says that she was pure. She had never slept with a man, and talked about what it is to be pure in this day and age when sex is thrown at you in every direction and everything you look at, and what it is to be pure. And then just faithful in the day to day. I mean, she's just doing her chores, had no idea that this servant was sitting there watching, looking for a bride for a prince. Isaac was basically a prince, and there were the wealthy family blessed by God. And Rebecca was just doing her chores, and she could have slacked off and not gone out that day and missed this incredible blessing. And so just the importance of being faithful in the day to day. And so when she finally comes over and he asks for water and she says, "Yes, and I'll water your camels too," then that was an example, because she didn't slack off. She watered all those camels and the servant watched, and one camel will drink like 35 gallons when they're thirsty. And so to think of filling up that jar over and over and over again, it would have been backbreaking work for hours. And she completed it. She didn't just give them enough to just not, you know, give them a little bit of water. She let them drink and drink until they were done. And the servant saw that. So he wasn't looking for a woman that was beautiful, you know, and had it all together, was a great cook and an athlete or anything. He was looking for somebody that was a part of Abraham's family, which he found out she was. And then he was looking at her character, and she had so much character. And so the lesson for us is, as we give our lives to Jesus, you know, we need to know that day where we prayed and asked Jesus to come live inside of us, but then it's a love relationship, and you can't help but do these things because you love God, and we're going to see him face to face one day. And we want to do all that we can to prepare our hearts for that wonderful day, like you do for a wedding. I had my oldest daughter got married this summer, and she had to prepare for her wedding and do her makeup and her hair and find a dress and do all this stuff, because you want to be your best for your wedding day. And when Jesus comes back, we want to be ready in our hearts. Of course, it's not about the way we look at all. It's what's on the inside. And we have time left. We still have time to work on our character, and hopefully these characteristics will help pull that out.
And Susie, I love the way Great Truth continues when the servant took Rebecca to Isaac, because Rebecca agreed to go. So she had to choose. So the servant chose her, but she also had to choose to go. And when she was traveling with, you know, the servant told her about Isaac, so that she actually, we think, began to fall in love with him before she even saw him. And then when she saw him, how afraid she was at that first look, you know, would he be pleased with her? And of course he was. And the sweetest verse is at the end of that chapter, when it says he took her into his mother's tent. He married her, took her into his mother's tent, and he loved her. And it was a love relationship. It wasn't just an arranged marriage. And so what God is looking for, I think, is a bride for his son who would not only be pleasing to the father and pleasing to the son, but one that would enter into that love relationship and live with him forever in his heavenly home. It's a beautiful story. And Rachel is fleshed out with humor and insight and deep meaning for our own lives.
So good. Just got a couple minutes left before we're done here. And I'd love to know from both of you, what do you know about God now that you didn't know maybe even as well 5, 10 years ago? Rachel Ruth?
I think it's a little bit of what I've been saying, but I mean, 5 or 10 years ago, I would have said God is absolutely faithful because I've been through trials, you know, for many, many years. But I tell you what, now I have seen his faithfulness on the deepest level for me. Mm-hmm. And I can't even believe it. He is so trustworthy. No matter how scared you get, no matter how bad it is, he is there. He loves us and he holds us and carries us through it. And so I think I have learned that, wow, I just keep falling more and more in love with him because he is so trustworthy and faithful.
Beautiful. And we got about 30 seconds. What say you?
I would say ditto. But I also find that the blessings, sometimes God gives us blessings, but they're in disguise. So I think we have to look for the blessings and not get caught up in the bad things, but know that behind those bad things is a Heavenly Father who's allowing it for a greater purpose. And in time, we're going to look back and we're going to see the blessings.
Mm. Well, you've encouraged so many people today, and you encouraged so many. Someone texted in and said, I love these two. I love their studies. And they sent a picture of one of your video Bible studies that they've been doing. So I just want to say thank you to both of you for your contribution to the kingdom and your faithfulness. God bless you. God bless you. And thank you.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you. God bless you.
Mm, appreciate you both so much. And Graham Lotz, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright are my guests today. Again, they co-authored the book, Preparing to Meet Jesus, a 21-day challenge to move from salvation to transformation. We're going to leave the drawing open, so whether you're listening to the live show or catch the podcast later, we'll wait a little bit, and then we'll draw your name. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We love you. We appreciate you. Keep living expectantly. Jesus could come at any time. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.